Hello and welcome to another edition of Down Sound Talking Newspaper, produced by Downpatrick Lions Club. As usual, we'll be reading from the two local papers, the Mourn Observer and the Down Recorder. And it is Tommy who will start by reading from the front page of the Mourn Observer.
Hello listeners, I am Tommy here and I'm reading from the Mourn Observer. Their headline in the front page is Elaine's Abseil in Memory of Jamie. Newcastle Women's Charity Fundraiser will support the vital work of Air Ambulance Northern Ireland. A local woman is abseiling down the Europa Hotel this weekend to raise money for the Air Ambulance. Newcastle resident Elaine McClellan has decided to undertake this feat as a way to raise money for the charity in memory of her cousin, Jamie Marks. 18-year-old Jamie from Downpatrick sadly passed away in February of this year after a car accident near Castlewellan. He was the youngest of the family of youngest cousins. Elaine said it was the first real tragedy that the family's ever had. She said that she wanted to do something to try to help those who assisted Jamie after the accident. The Air Ambulance were on the scene and were really good and tried to save him, but couldn't. He had just left work on a Friday afternoon because he worked in Walter Watson's. It was tragic, she said. Elaine saw a month ago that the Air Ambulance were doing this fundraising abseil event on Sunday, so she decided to get involved. The Air Ambulance is a charity and it wouldn't survive if it didn't have people's donations. It's a charity that you might need one day, she said. Elaine said that although she is the one doing the abseiling, so many of her family members and friends have also been getting people to contribute in support. I have to thank my family and close friends who helped out. They took into their workplaces and got sponsorship this way. Elaine said that doing this fundraiser is one way for her and her family to show their support for Jamie's parents who reside in Downpatrick and his siblings. We love Donna and Patrick and family and want to say how much we care for them. Elaine said she's not worried about actually going down the 50 metre high building and will just do what she has in order to raise the money in memory of her cousin. The total amount actually raised was £1,443. A special walk will take place in Newcastle next week, which will give participants a chance to appreciate dawn breaking over Dundrum Bay, and its organisers are encouraging local people to take part. The Darkness into Light themed event will set off from Dodder Car Park at 4:35 a.m. on Saturday the 4th of May, and participants will make their way to the quarry site on Thomas Mountain to enjoy witnessing dawn break over the bay. The plan is for walkers to arrive at the quarry for 5:20 a.m. Local man Eamon McRickert, together with his friends at County Down Rural Community Network and local charities and the Mourne Mountain Rescue Team, are organising the event. Anyone wishing to take part is asked to ensure they wear suitable footwear and clothing and to bring a flask for a welcome cup of tea to sip as they greet the dawn. Everyone is welcome, and while donations to the charities and the Mourne Mountain Rescue Team are very much appreciated, this invitation is also about showing solidarity with those experiencing poor mental health and taking a little time to enjoy the new spring and the new day. The council has urged residents to apply for a free parking permit for one of the district's four main car parks. In February, the local authorities agreed to postpone a new charging and permit scheme which applies to Kilbroney Forest Park, Delamont Country Park and Castlewell and Forest Park, and also Slieve Gullion Forest Park. This increase will take place from the 4th of March till the 22nd of April. Last week, the council posted a reminder that the introduction of the new system involves uniform charging at all four locations, which were previously free of charge, and the creation of a permit that will allow each registered household in the district free entry to a park of their choice. The online post stated that almost 8,000 single park permits have been issued so far to our residents, allowing them free car parking at one of our main parks. It advised residents to visit any of the park's car parks office between 9 a.m. and 5 p.m. to obtain a pass, a valid driving license or photographic ID, and a document that shows a current address are required. A man took about £50,000 from a Warren Point church while he was acting as its treasurer. Newry Crown Court heard this week. Edwin Reginald Wallace, aged 65, of Elmfield Villas, Warren Point, was sentenced for fraud by abuse of position. The charge stated that he encashed cheques from the parish bank account to his own favour. The offence occurred between the 13th of August 2019 and the 12th of October 21, while the defendant was the treasurer of Clanallan and Warren Point Parish Church, a Church of Ireland church in the Diocese of Down and Dromore. Last Friday at Newry Court, sitting at a Craigavon courthouse, His Honour Judge Mr. Paul Ramsay, KC, sentenced Wallace to a total of 18 months in prison, but suspended for 2 years. He also ordered the defendant to pay £7,500 compensation to the church. I know the insurance company has made some recommends to the church, but there are still monies outstanding. The defendant told police that he had taken around £50,000 from the church to pay for his drinking and gambling debts. The judge said that it was a significant breach of trust that happened through multiple transactions for more than 2 years. The court was told the defendant's drinking and gambling were exacerbated by the COVID-19 pandemic. One of the legacies of COVID is that many people's problems were exacerbated, the judge said. The court was told the defendant is retired from a career in the banking industry. He has a completely clear record, Judge Ramsay said, adding that the defendant had expressed genuine remorse. He is a man who is deeply ashamed of where he finds himself.
Hello everyone, this is Deirdre, and I'm reading from the Mourne Observer tonight first. And the story here is GAA Founders Descendants Visit Home Place. 6 months ago, Englishman Patrick McKay had never heard of his ancestor, the GAA founder John McKay. He didn't know about John McKay's home in Carga or his school in Bonecastle. But last week that all changed when the man from Fulham made the trip across the Irish Sea. Patrick McKay is a retired printer who grew up in Fulham before moving to Kent. He believed that his father was from Dundee. But historian Donal MacAllan, who has spent 15 years researching the history of one of the seven founders of the GAA, John McKay, tracked down Patrick last year and told him the real story of his father's ancestors. Donal encouraged Patrick to come over to Ireland to learn more about his history. And so last week, Patrick McKay made the trip along with his daughter, Amelia, to South Down. Patrick's first visit was to the site of John McKay's family home, which is at the junction where the Buckshead Road meets the Ballydugan Road. He said that the experience has been exciting. "I just think it is great," he added. "We want to find out it all that we can. We want to find out where the family are." He says, "I'm 74. My daughter, Amelia, has got quite a few more years ahead of her. My son, Simon, has too. So have his kids and his grandkids. It has opened up a path for our family." On the visit to Cargay, they went to the original site of where John McKay was born. Then Ballykilbeg Church, where he was baptised, and Bonecastle School, where he was educated. Then they went to the RGU Downpatrick Club. There was a whirlwind of information to take in, as Donal explained the history. But it was clear that Patrick wanted to understand more about his ancestor. "It is trying to get your head round what this side of the family has done and where my place is in it. It's a lot to take in. I'm starting to understand what John McKay was about. He had the vision and the drive, and he had the desire to make change. 2 years after the GAA was formed, he went to London, but he had the energy initially to help drive it forward and to bring the collective together. From what I have seen and read, it seems as if he was the facilitator. He wasn't the driving force, but he did all the work in the back office, the stuff that needs to be done for anything to succeed, and it quite often goes unnoticed. It's worth pointing out that Patrick McKay's knowledge of the GAA, how it started and what it has become, is scant, but he has been inspired to learn more. It's big, it's really big, not just in Ireland but worldwide. Obviously people travel and take their cultures with them. I've discovered that there are an awful lot of clubs around London, which I didn't know. I've gone on YouTube and discovered loads of stuff. Plans for stabilising town riverbank walls submitted. Permission is being sought for the carrying out of remedial and stabilising works on the banks of the Shimna River in central Newcastle. An application for repairs to the wall at Castle Park and to the walls adjacent to both Cafe Maud's and the Bonbon Shop on opposite sides of where the river joins the sea was recently submitted by council to its own planning department. This follows on from last summer's pre-application discussion submission, which allowed for advisory discussions with planners ahead of the full application being lodged. A Habitats Regulations assessment attached to the proposal notes that the project consists of repair works to retaining walls at the three distinct locations. Construction work associated with the proposed project includes remove railings, prop up existing wall, redirect water flow, build working platform, remove backfill behind the wall to allow the wall and base to be demolished, and complete piling operations and form a capping beam, it states. It is highlighted that the project is necessary for the safe operational management of Castle Park Pond and surrounding area, as the wall acts as a flood defence, and it is acknowledged that the works are being carried out within a designated area. Due to the project taking place within the boundary of Murlough SAC, that's Special Area of Conservation, elements of the work that either alone or in combination with other projects are likely to include temporary impacts to water quality associated with the physical disturbance of the aquatic environment and adjacent lands, the assessment reads. Extensive search for a missing person. A missing person was located safe and well following a lengthy search in Newcastle and across Murlock Nature Reserve at the weekend. Local police, the Newcastle-based Search and Rescue Dog Association, and Skywatch NI, a charity which provides aerial surveillance, participated in the operation. The alarm was raised on Saturday morning, and the team's dog and handlers worked through the reserve whilst police and Skywatch drone operators checked the wider area. Following what the police described as hours of air and land searching, the operation was scaled down and the individual was subsequently located, safe and well, that night in a property nearby. Details of the operation were also outlined online by all the organisations involved, with many people voicing their delight at the outcome and also praising the volunteers and personnel involved in the lengthy operation. A spokeswoman for the canine search team said they were tasked at around 1 p.m. to assist the PSNI and Skywatch NI in locating a missing person, and that the area they focused on was the nature reserve and its shoreline. All our dogs worked tirelessly in the heat and located the trail of the missing person. She added that the dogs and their handlers were released from the scene at around 5:30 p.m. with the person located safe and well in a house nearby later that night. 34 arrests for stalking in Newry, Mourne and Down. More than 30 people have been arrested for stalking in the Newry, Mourne and Down District Council area during the past 2 years, the PSNI has announced. As a part of National Stalking Awareness Week, which began on Monday, the Police Service of Northern Ireland has published updated arrest and stalking protection order figures to showcase the successes over the last 2 years and encourage more victims to come forward. Between April 2022, when new legislation in Northern Ireland criminalised stalking for the first time, and the 31st of March 2024, 312 people have been arrested for alleged stalking, with 150 of those going on to be charged. The Newry, Mourne and Down District Council area had 34 arrests for stalking, making it third in the area with the highest stalking arrests, following behind Belfast and Armagh, Banbridge and Craigavon council areas. The PSNI wants people to be aware of what constitutes stalking behaviour, which may include regularly following someone and tracking their movements, repeatedly going uninvited to their home or workplace, checking someone's internet use, email or other communications, hanging around somewhere they know the person often visits, interfering with their property, watching or spying on someone, and identity theft. We are asking the public to not ignore the red flags. If someone's behaviour towards you is fixated, obsessive, unwanted and repeated, this is stalking. DS Lindsay Fisher from the Services Public Protection Branch said. I think many people, when they hear the word stalking, will think of someone lurking in the shadows. Stalking can actually take many forms and can be online as well as in person and could be someone known to you or a complete stranger. It is an insidious crime that takes over and destroys lives. Statistics show that people will suffer up to 100 incidents before reporting to police. It often results in fear, trauma, and a reduction in the victim's quality of life. In some tragic cases, it has resulted in murder, she said. Good evening, everybody. Isn't it just wonderful to have dry weather and a bit of sunshine? And I'm Margaret, and I'm reading from the Mourne Observer. And the heading is State-of-Art Community Supermarket Opens in Downpatrick with More Than 50 New Jobs Created. Downpatrick has a new fresh food supermarket thanks to the opening of the highly anticipated state-of-the-art Eurospa on the Hourglass Road. The supermarket is a flagship store for owners Henderson. Their retail after a multi-million pound investment in the new site and will see 56 jobs created in the local area, while 17 staff from Connolly's Spa in the town, which has been replaced by the new Eurospa, have also transferred to the store. Eurospa Downpatrick represents the second fresh food superstore in County Down, following the opening of Eurospa Killaleah in June 2023. The Danish made in-store kitchen is a completely new concept for shoppers, providing a fully serviced kitchen where freshly prepared meals and salads that have been made by two local in-store chefs daily can be picked up throughout the day. Chefs Peter and James from Downpatrick will create everyday favourites from curries to lasagna, alongside sides and desserts that can be taken home to heat, all made using fresh and local products. The food-to-go hot food deli and fresh bar has teams serving up fresh breakfast and lunch options, from cooked breakfasts to filled wraps, plus Eurospa's popular Dalish chicken bar with southern fried chicken and chips throughout the day. Finally, the Dalish bakery is headed up by two local bakers, Kiva and Callum, who will bake a range of fresh breads from baguettes to sourdough, cakes and pastries, fresh every day, plus shoppers can see pancakes, soda and potato bread made fresh in the griddle in the pan throughout the day. Prison sentence for man with lengthy criminal record. A man with hundreds of previous convictions on his criminal record was jailed last week in Downpatrick Crown Court. Samuel Robinson, who is 50, had pleaded guilty to four counts of making off with paying, four counts of driving while disqualified, and four counts of using a vehicle without insurance. He had addresses listed with the court at Etherington Oaks, Derry, and Dunclug Gardens, Ballymena, but the court heard he had most recently been living in Scotland. The defendant appeared at the court last Wednesday, the 17th of April, via site link from McGabry. His Honour, Judge Geoffrey Miller, KC, gave Robinson a 2.5 sentence. Half of this is to be served in prison, and the other half is to be served on licence. The judge said that the defendant received a 25% discount on his sentence due to his guilty pleas. Judge Miller also disqualified Robinson from driving for 5 years and ordered him to pay compensation to the owners of the petrol stations for the petrol taken. The judge outlined some of the details of the matter during sentencing last Wednesday. On the 14th of January last year, the defendant drove while disqualified and without insurance to a service station in Limavady. He took £25 worth of petrol and then drove off, without paying, the court was told. Something similar happened 3 days later, on the 17th of January 2023, when Robinson took £25 worth of petrol from a petrol station in Ardglass, the court was told. The following day, on the 18th of January 2023, the defendant committed the same offence at both a petrol station in Clough and a service station in Seaford. He took £30 worth of petrol at the former and £20 worth of petrol at the latter business. Police later located Robinson in Newcastle and he was arrested. Judge Miller said the defendant had an appalling list of previous convictions. He has 323 previous convictions. Over half of these are for road traffic offences, the judge said. These are his 57th to 60th convictions for driving while disqualified. There can be no question of any other than an immediate custodial term. Soldiers, evacuees and rationing. Wartime memories are revealed. Wartime recollections, including childhood memories of American GIs in Newcastle, rationing and evacuees staying at a local hotel, have been added to the vault of information already amassed on the Second World War, thanks to the community-orientated project. Following an appeal to the Mourn Observer last month, made by the Northern Ireland War Memorial, which is based at Talbot Street in Belfast, new information has been revealed, thanks to the contribution of a number of local residents who grew up in the 1940s. From the US soldiers to the harsh realities of the rationing scheme, which was designed to ensure fair shares for all at a time of national shortage, and memories of those who fled the city during the Belfast Blitz to the safety of the seaside. These recollections will further enhance the information collated by the museum as part of their oral history project. The NIWM War Memories team have thanked those who took the time and effort to add to the information it already had. Interviews which were recorded by Una Walls on behalf of NIWM and National Museums of Northern Ireland in 2008. Una, a retired lecturer, spoke to local people about their wartime memories, and after 15 years, the entire collection has been transcribed by museum volunteer Saoirse Clark. Michael Burns, research officer, explained that as a result of the coverage in the Mourn Observer, he and his colleagues at the museum were thrilled when a number of local residents came forward with interesting wartime memories. One gentleman, Jack from Newcastle, spoke about his father, who was employed by the Ministry of Defence for maintenance at Ballykinna Army Camp and other military camps in the area. When on the job, Jack was sometimes brought with his father for company and recalls visiting camps at Ballywillwill and Mount Panther. Jack lived on the Shimna Road, opposite another camp, and recalled many visits from American officers who would drop in with big tins of fruit and other treats for the family, Michael outlined. Speaking of treats, Jack got to know many of the soldiers, and so he had the rare privilege of getting sweets in the American PX store on Newcastle Main Street, a site now occupied by Newcastle Library, much to the envy of his schoolmates, who had to survive on sweets rations of only 2 ounces a week. After the Belfast Blitz, the first German bombardment of the city occurred in April 1941 and consisted of 3 German air raids on strategic targets in Belfast, causing high casualties. Jack recalls the evacuees who came to stay in the Slieve Donard Hotel, saying that they got on well with them, but that they were a different breed to country people. Butter smuggling to an artificial leg, a WW2 bomber modified for a mission to rescue the Norwegian royal family after Nazi occupation, the exploits of a professional ballroom dancer, and the wreckage of a German aircraft in the Mourns are just a handful of stories told to Una's important collection of interviews.
Hello, listeners. We're now into the Down Recorder newspaper. Stormont Education Minister Paul Girvan visited Down High School's new £35 million campus, which is under construction at the Strangford Road in Downpatrick. Last Wednesday's visit to the site, where he met school principal Mrs. Maud Perry and Board of Governors chairperson Avril Heaney. This was part of a tour of several local schools. Mr. Girvan met staff and Board of Governors representatives at Knockavon Special School in Downpatrick and also visited Ballinahinch High School. During his visit to Down High School, the new one, which is due to welcome students in September next year, Mr. Girvan was accompanied by MLA Diane Forsyth and Harry Harvey. Also joining the Education Minister were representatives from the authority, McAdam Design and Graham Construction, to witness firsthand the rapid progress of the build, which remains on course for completion next spring. Mr. Girvan said he was delighted to see the progress being made at the new school. He said once completed, the impressive new building will provide ultra-modern facilities for pupils, teachers, governors, local community and wider South Down persons. I commended hard work undertaken by everyone involved over decades to get this place at the exciting stage, and I look forward to seeing the new school open, the minister added. Ulster Scots could join the Irish language across all Murraymon and Down Council corporate branding. The news comes after the local authority agreed to review its approach to Ulster Scots after an official approach from the Northern Ireland's Ulster Scots Community Network. The independent umbrella organisation contacted the local authorities at the start of the year, outlining a range of internationally recognised rights which were currently not being upheld by the council in relation to Ulster Scots. The issue was subsequently discussed by the local authorities, Equality and Good Relations Reference Group, and the requested review was approved by the Influential Strategy, Policy and Resources Committee. A former school teacher from Cumber, who groomed a pupil and then sexually abused her, has been jailed for 13 and a half months. Carol Greer, age 76, will spend a similar period on supervised license on her release from prison. Greer, who now lives in Doncaster, had previously pleaded guilty to 15 counts of indecent assault on a female, which took place on dates between August 1971 and January 1978. Menaries has come into Downpatrick. Trading since 1923, the company has taken over the Houston's store in Market Street, which is one of five stores Menaries had acquired across the province, with others in Banbridge, Enniskillen, Portaferry and Lurgan. All shops will be rebranded as Menaries, which started as a local draper's in Dungannon and is now a firm favourite for Northern Ireland shoppers over the years, with 15 stores across the province, two stores in the Republic of Ireland and opening in England in November 2022. Menaries was founded by Joseph Alexander, the great uncle of current managing director Stephen and Philip McCammon. Menaries managing director Stephen McCammon said the company was delighted to see these two historic family businesses coming together. Both brands have been synonymous with quality product at fair prices and authentic friendly service, and those values will continue. Menaries will rebrand Houston store in Lurgan Portadown, down Patrick Banbridge and Dylan Skillen, and look forward to welcoming the Houston branch team into the Menaries families.
This is Deirdre, now reading from the Down Recorder. Killaloe girl Rachel doing fantastic following pioneering brain surgery. A brave Killaloe girl is doing fantastic and preparing to return to preschool today after having extensive brain surgery in Ukraine. Little Rachel Gribben spent weeks at St. Nicholas's Children's Hospital in Lviv despite the war in the country. In October 2022, the three-year-old was diagnosed with a severe form of epilepsy, causing her to have multiple seizures daily, causing some of her development to regress. Her mum, Katie, explained Rachel was not a candidate for surgery in the UK because tests showed her seizures were coming from more than one area of the brain. "I wasn't willing to accept that this was going to be Rachel's quality of life," Katie said. "I was in touch with several UK epilepsy support groups, and some of them recommended Dr. Tom Zeke, a surgeon who was based at the Epilepsy Institute of New Jersey, but operated in Ukraine as well. He believed that Rachel would benefit significantly from the surgery and that it would improve her quality of life. Last October, Katie began to organise a fundraising campaign so Rachel could receive the life-altering surgery. After many months of fundraising and raising £20,000 for the surgery, Rachel and her parents, Katie and John, travelled to Western Ukraine to undergo the surgery. Having spent 7 hours in theatre, the paediatric neurosurgeon successfully removed the part of Rachel's brain that was causing the debilitating seizures. "It was the longest day of our lives," Kitty recalled. "I've never experienced a worry like it, and I hope I never do again. And the doctors and staff were absolutely incredible." When you think about what Ukraine has endured these last 2 years, the people were so friendly and so helpful. We didn't want for anything. Since Rachel had her life-changing surgery 4 weeks ago, she has not had one seizure, with the doctors claiming there is an 80% chance she will live the rest of her life seizure-free. "Rachel was the first child to have the surgery from outside Ukraine," Katie said. "They got every last bit of the lesion that was causing the seizures, and it was a huge success. We can already see the difference in her. She's able to play with her sisters and has started to speak, which is something she couldn't do before surgery." Now, an article about workshops in the museum. If you would like to develop a new skill, check out the one-day workshops this May at Down County Museum. Each weekend there is a different workshop, starting with Potcher Printmaking on Saturday, May the 11th, from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m, priced at £55 or £50. Join Karen Day Hutchinson, AREARUA, must be some group, an established and award-winning printmaker, for an exciting opportunity to explore this amazing process of stencil printing reinvented during the 2020 lockdown. Karen posted a process video on YouTube, which has now had more than 60,000 views with international interest. You will create your own hand-cut stencils, and using a printing press, you will overlap colour and imagery to create amazing original prints. An introduction to drawing takes place on Saturday, May the 18th, from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m, priced at £55 or £50. In the beginner's drawing workshop, you will have the opportunity to experiment with different drawing materials and learn specific drawing tips and techniques. Now, an article about Knockavon School. The potential for a purpose-built centre of excellence in Downpatrick for special needs children was discussed during a meeting in the town last week. Stormont Education Minister Paul Given met with Knockavon special school officials when the possibility of a new capital build project for its pupils at the grammar school site to accommodate increasing demand was discussed. Down High moves to a new £30 million home at the Strangford Road in the town next year, with the vacated site as an ideal situation for Knockavon to relocate its existing basis. Knockavon caters for pupils with severe learning difficulties aged between 3 to 19, with its early years centre based in Dundrum. The junior and multidisciplinary department is headquartered in Downpatrick, with the senior school located in Castlewellan. Currently, some pupils have to travel between the three sites, which eats into their time with the one-site option favoured by the school and the local politicians. Mr Given met with the principal, Sarah Liddell, school governors and South Down MLA, Colin McGrath. The government department said any expansion or move to new accommodation would require a level of capital investment, but given Down High's relocation, its large Mount Crescent site is being viewed as the ideal location for a new home for Knockavon, which would ensure all its pupils are educated on the one site. Knockavon has a long-term aim to move to a purpose-built special school on a single site, serving the children in the area to enhance the excellent service it already provides, and says such a move would allow us to cater for many more pupils. Praise for lifeboat crew. Portaferry lifeboat went to the rescue of a boat which broke down at the entrance to Strangford Lough last Thursday. The lifeboat was called to give assistance to a 6-metre vessel which suffered engine failure close to the bar buoy shortly after 6 p.m. There was one person on board the stricken craft, which was placed under tow. The lifeboat was manned by Helen Russell McGovern and crew members Scott Blackwood, Ross Watrett and George Toma. Russell said afterwards, "We would commend the crew on board the fishing vessel for having a means of calling for help and for raising the alarm when the engine failed." He continued, "We would remind all boat owners to check their vessel's engine to ensure they are ready for summer. Always check the weather and tides before venturing out. Always wear a life jacket or suitable personal flotation device for your activity, and always carry a means of calling for help." He added, "Should you get into difficulty or see someone else in trouble, call 999 and ask for the Coast Guard."
And now we're reading from the Down Recorder, and it's calls to upgrade town centre area. A planned upgrade of one of the main roads in Downpatrick town centre is an absolute necessity, a senior politician contends. Plans are being finalised for the next stage of a £220,000 scheme to revitalise Church Street and nearby De Courcy Place off English Street. The Department for Communities scheme is designed to regenerate both areas, which over the recent years have missed on central government funding. Newry Mourne and Down Council, which is also heavily involved in the project, has been discussing the planned investment with business community representatives, with the options for regenerating De Courcy Place, including new seating and lighting, and the provision of additional planters. New bus shelters have already been provided in Church Street in tandem with a mural of Downpatrick rock band Ash and various shop front improvements, with the work designed to improve the gateway entrance to the town centre. But South Down MLA Colin McGrath says more needs to be done. He said, "The Church Street upgrade must be a priority for statutory bodies to assist the regeneration of Downpatrick." He said, "While many businesses have been doing their best to bring new life into this part of the town, he believes the statutory bodies need to give more attention to the essential route. When people make their way to Downpatrick from Belfast, the first image they get of our country town is uneven road surfaces, potholes, and a number of run-down buildings in Church Street," said Mr. McGrath. "This is not the image we want to present." The Assemblyman received a recent update from the local authority to the Church Street scheme and ongoing consultation for the public realm investment. The scheme includes putting overhead services underground, installing new pathway services, replacing street lighting columns, new street furniture trees and planting. "This would be very welcome, a great development for the area, and I look forward to seeing this progress." Health inequality against rural community must end. Northern Ireland's most senior health official has been asked to spell out how current plans to transform the health service will address discrimination against rural communities. The appeal to Department of Health Permanent Secretary Peter May has been made by the Downpatrick Down Community Health Committee. It wants Mr. May to explain how transforming health provision will end the prejudicial treatment of people in rural areas as a consequence of what it describes as the undue concentration of hospital services, particularly emergency care, in the Belfast area. The Health Committee's chairman, Mr. Eamon McGrady, has also asked for confirmation of the Department of Health's plans to improve efficiency and reduce costs by reducing administrative structures and the likely financial benefits to be derived as a result. Mr. McGrady said people across the district want access to basic, decent health services that everyone should be entitled to. Mr. McGrady has also asked Mr. May if he's satisfied with the general level of engagement and consultation with local communities by the Department of Health and the various other health trusts. "It is a widespread view that parish pump politics in Belfast and the price of a divided society leads to an inappropriate concentration of services in the city," said Mr. McGrady. He has asked if the health department has any plans to deal with this issue and what cost savings could be achieved as a result. Lions joined forces with council over recycling. Lions clubs in County Down have teamed up with Newry Mourne and Down District Council to promote a recycling initiative. Lions members from Downpatrick, Newcastle and Newry met at Newry Recycling Centre on Monday to encourage people to donate their old spectacles. Lions will collect the spectacles at recycling centres on a regular basis. The spectacles will be cleaned and calibrated before being sent to Lions Medico in France. Nearly 80 schools across Ireland are participating in the similar campaign, with 6,000 to 8,000 students taking part in an online event on April the 29th. And another Lions initiative is by Newcastle Lions Club, and it sends best wishes to Erin for a Malawi trip. A selfless Newcastle Lions Club helper has travelled to Malawi to volunteer at an orphanage. Erin Busby from Dundrum has been a regular helper with the local club since her school days. The club and members of the community in Dundrum and Newcastle supported a recent coffee morning, which was organised by Erin, and raised £672 for her journey to Malawi. Erin has been praised by the club for her new superb community work and her ability to show leadership.
Well, that's it for this edition of Down Sound Talking Newspaper. I'd like to thank Tommy, Deirdre and Margaret for reading from the two papers, and we hope you've enjoyed the pieces that we've been reading. So until next time, please take care and goodbye.